As the basic humanitarian needs of the Iraqi people are met, a new challenge for the American administration will be justice. Joining us now is Leila Sadat. She's the author of The International Criminal Court and the Transformation of International Law, Justice for the New Millennium, and she's with us by phone from her home in St. Louis. And good of you to speak with us today.
Thank you so much, Neil. Great to be here.
How would the prosecution, if he should be arrested, of Saddam Hussein differ from previous efforts to bring a former heads of state to justice?
Well, Neil, I suppose that depends on who does the arresting and where he's prosecuted. But certainly, Saddam Hussein could be tried by an international tribunal, such as the one that sits in The Hague. And there we would be following the example of how we addressed Slobodan Milosevic.
Who is still on trial there.
He is still on trial and probably will be for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are other possibilities. Presumably, an Iraqi court could try him for crimes against Iraqis.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that we have to keep in mind is that the people that have really suffered from Saddam Hussein are the Iraqi people, and any post-war justice solution has to really be responsive to their needs. But we can't forget there were also war crimes that were committed against the Kuwaitis during the Iraq-Kuwait war and against the Iranians during the Iran-Iraq war. So certainly the Iraqis have to have a major role in any post-war solution, but given the extraordinary efforts of the international community, if you like, to bring Saddam to book, probably some sort of international tribunal or at least a local tribunal, perhaps staffed with some international jurists, would be appropriate.
There are situations in this country where, for example, the sniper case, where crimes were allegedly committed in many different states, and the first trial may be in Virginia, the second one in Louisiana, the third in Maryland. Would that be the case with somebody on the order of a Saddam Hussein? Would they try him first in Iraq, then in Kuwait, then in Iran, wherever?
Well, I'm sure there would be a lot of different people and nationalities that would like to get a piece of Saddam Hussein. Saddam is definitely a world-class criminal. But essentially, what would happen if the international community decided to go first, then probably that would be pretty much the end of it, because the international community could exercise what we call primacy jurisdiction and essentially assert its jurisdiction over the case. On the other hand, if other states went forward, potentially many states could ask for Saddam's trial.
Mm-hmm. If the international community got primacy in a case like that being tried against Slobodan Milosevic, it's an issue that might be important to Iraqis and might be important also to the administration. What about the death penalty?
Well, that's an issue, certainly. The international fora that we generally look to trial war criminals do not generally apply the death penalty, and that is because the death penalty is not widely regarded as appropriate under international human rights standards. So certainly an international trial would not result in the death penalty. One of the things that is going on right now is our State Department and others have been training Middle Eastern jurists to possibly take part, if not in a trial of Saddam Hussein himself, in a trial of local leaders or his deputies. And that is another alternative if it was felt that the death penalty was required.
We're talking with Leila Sadat about some of the issues that arise as we look ahead to possible war crimes trials of Iraqi officials. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And we wanted to get listeners involved in the conversation, and let's get a question now from Pam, who's on the line in Denver, Colorado.
Hi, Neil.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay, my question is about the Iraqi soldiers who went on civilian clothes, and when they're brought into justice, are they being considered as under the Geneva Convention?
As prisoners of war, do you mean?
Prisoners of war and whoever will be brought into justice, because that's my understanding, whoever went into combat.
Mm-hmm. Leila Sadat?
That's a great question. And you have to distinguish pretty much war crimes that may have been committed during this conflict from war crimes or crimes against humanity or even allegations of genocide that were committed during the two decades prior to this conflict. With respect to crimes that may have been committed during this conflict, the United States would certainly have the right to bring up soldiers that had feigned truce or had showed white flags of surrender falsely or had done other things that are illegal under the Geneva Conventions under military occupation courts. The difficulty with that, I think, for the United States is that would be very diplomatically difficult. It's a sensitive issue. There were many, many Iraqi civilians and soldiers that were killed during the war. And so for the United States to prosecute Iraqi soldiers for engaging in what were essentially guerrilla tactics during the war might really give the United States, I think, a black eye, particularly at a time when the United States has to commit itself to bringing justice to the people of Iraq, which is, after all, why we went into the war. So the caller is absolutely right. We could certainly, we would be technically absolutely within our rights to bring up anybody who violated any of the Geneva Conventions before a U.S. occupation court. But whether it would be politically wise to do so is quite another matter indeed.
The United States, I'm sorry, Pam, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Sorry, can I ask a follow-up question?
Go ahead.
Yeah, the thing is, my understanding is United States has gone into war, which is illegal according to the United Nations. So if that is true, how can you bring the Iraqi forces who came as in civilian clothes into justice? Because they're in both parties, it's illegal. But on the other hand, you might also argue that the Iraqi soldiers are defending themselves and they are coming in civilian clothes.
You know, Pam, it's a great question. And one of the peculiarities of the laws of war is that even if the war is illegal, Geneva law still applies. But what I think your question points out is that if the United States were to start bringing war crimes prosecutions based on guerrilla tactics or other activities of Iraqi soldiers dressed in civilians, I think it would potentially open up a forum to criticize the United States' conduct of the war generally. There might be arguments that the use of force was disproportionate on our side, that certain bombs went astray, killing of civilians by the United States could come under scrutiny, which is why I suspect that it will be more to the advantage of the administration not to take an aggressive approach with respect to Iraqis who were arguably violating the Geneva Conventions during the war.
Pam, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask, so therefore the list of the 55, the deck of cards, if you will, with a couple of jokers thrown in the deck, it's not my original with me, those would be the only people that the leadership that you would think would likely become under, might be prosecuted?
Well, certainly the United States is now circulating this list of 55, and I saw the deck of cards today in the newspaper, and it's quite fascinating the way it's done, actually. But there was a list of almost 2,000 individuals that had been compiled earlier, I think in October or November, by the Department of Defense. And obviously the decision to just go after the top leadership, to go after some other echelons, will depend very much on how the United States sees the advantages or disadvantages of these courses of action. I mean, one of the things that will definitely have to occur, not from the U.S. vantage point, but from the Iraqi vantage point, is some sort of ouster of Ba'ath Party members. Now, whether that's done through trials, whether that's done through what we call lustration, which is simply a process of preventing them from holding office in the future, for example, or whether that's done, as it was in post-war World War II France, by the people themselves taking justice into their own hands, which amounted to the execution of some 10 to 40,000 Frenchmen extrajudicially at the hands of other Frenchmen, I think that really remains to be seen. But particularly as you get into the lower echelon...
Leila Sadat, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there.
Sure, Neil. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.